This is KLCC News. Good afternoon. I'm Tripp Summer. Welcome to the East Lane County Commission Candidates Forum. Over the next hour, we'll hear from the candidates on a number of issues, including questions submitted by you, the listener. Joining me today are Faye Stewart, the incumbent, and challengers, Joanne Ernst, Kevin Matthews, and Jose Ortal. Jack Schoolcraft says he is, quote, refraining from further public comment, end quote. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get started with opening comments from the candidates. In this segment, you will each have 2 minutes. Please pay attention to our timekeeper, Jess Burns, here in the front row. With 10 seconds left, she will raise the yellow card. When your allotted time is up, Jess will raise the red card. When you see the red card, please finish your sentence and then stop. Let's begin in the order I just introduced you. First up, the incumbent, Faye Stewart's opening remarks.
Good afternoon, and thank you. I'm Faye Stewart, and I'm currently in my 10th year serving as the East Lane County Commissioner. It's truly been a pleasure and an honor to serve the citizens of East Lane County. I'm a sixth-generation resident of Lane County. My great-great-grandfather came and located a donation land claim in Jasper. In fact, the community of Jasper is named after my great-great-grandfather. He was the first male born in the area. And then he moved on up to Oak Ridge and lived the remainder of his life up there. I'm currently a fourth-generation resident of Cottage Grove. And happily married to my wife. We'll be celebrating our 20th year anniversary this year, and we're raising our 4 children, Gracie, Faith, Josh, and Hope. Oldest 16, youngest is 8, so we're pretty busy when it's not on doing county business. Before I became a county commissioner, I was active with my dad, a partner in a logging excavation business, a small business that just worked for little private owners. And did that for approximately 18 years. I ran for county commissioner 10 years ago with the concerns that I felt our constituents needed a better representation, more focused on a constituent service than the bigger picture of county business. So I've tried to do my very best to address constituents as soon as possible and try to find ways to solve their problems. I also have had the blessing of being on the Bohemia Foundation in my spare time. I've had the great honor over the last 10 years of taking a 15-acre brownfield and converting it into a beautiful park, a gathering space for our community. So thank you for this opportunity.
Joanne Ernst is next.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm Joanne Ernst. Since 2010, our county government has been rocked by scandal. The way I see it, Faye Stewart stopped listening to constituents and wasted a lot of our hard-earned taxpayer money. An entire shift of deputies is gone, and now many in the county don't feel safe in their homes. And the assessor's office has been cut to the point that I don't believe the county has a handle on how much revenue it actually should be taking in. I'm the only other candidate that has elected commissioner experience. One of the reasons I'm running is because we did things much differently at EWEB. We hired a new general manager via an open, transparent, and competitive nationwide hiring process, unlike the process that appointed Leanne Richardson. We went to zero-based budgeting, where departments are held accountable for their expenses every year. And at the end of the year, departments don't waste extra money on buying paper. We can achieve this at the county level. We listened to taxpayers and our constituents. For example, at EWEB, we responded to the needs of home builders by creating a fund in the budget to pay service delivery charges so projects could get off the ground as the economy improved. When Vanita came to the board and asked us to help them replace their poor quality well water, we sent them that lifeline, and they attracted a call center with hundreds of local jobs. My campaign has been a listening tour. I've learned from the people of East Lane County that different communities want different things, and the county has the capability to help them succeed. I'll bring my public experience from the EWEB Board, the Lane Council of Government's Budget Committee, and the Whatcom County Youth Network. I'm not here to reinvent the wheel and say I have all the answers, but I've demonstrated I know how to listen to public suggestions and achieve consensus when making decisions. I believe those skills are exactly what the commission and Lane County needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin Matthews.
Thank you, Tripp. It's really an honor to be here today talking with a great KLCC radio audience. My name is Kevin Matthews, and I'm running for East Lane County Commissioner. I'm running to bring back transparency and common sense integrity to the Lane County Board while building prosperity in our local neighborhoods and our rural communities, working together from the ground upward. I've been a ranch hand, a blacksmith, an educator, and an entrepreneur. I'm a Lane County native, a local small business owner for more than 20 years. And for the last 15 years, I've been working on a volunteer basis as a community advocate, working on a range of land use, transportation, and environmental issues. As I've talked with literally thousands of Lane County voters during the last year of campaigning all around this amazing district, what I've heard is that the great majority of us are here because we love this beautiful place. East Lane County, from the Cascades down to the Fertile Valleys, the mountain watersheds, is really a beautiful and wonderful piece of the planet. And we can work together better investing in ourselves, the people who are here for the long run, rather than wasting taxpayer dollars trying to bring in big outside companies who may give us some headliner jobs from time to time, but use up our money, go on to the next community. Instead, let's work on specialty agriculture, adventure tourism, the everyday services that we all need, and build up prosperity while protecting our native forests, protecting our clean water, moving together into a future for Lane County that will last.
And now we will hear opening comments from Jose Hortal.
Good afternoon. My name is Jose Hortal, and I would firstly like to thank KLCC for hosting this event. Importantly, would like to acknowledge both radio listeners as well as in-studio guests that are taking part in this process that we call democracy. Lastly, I would like to thank my fellow panelists for taking the time from busy days to engage in this important conversation. For too many years, the Lane County Board of Commissioners has conducted the business of governing in a state of chaos. True governance has been replaced by internal tugs of war, partisan politicking, lawsuits, duplicity, and criminal investigations. I and you know this behavior must be stopped. The time has come to rebuild a county government with transparent disclosure, accountability, and a prioritized focus on making policies that build a robust economy, provide living wage jobs, and improve public safety, particularly in our rural areas. If elected, I plan to introduce policies committed to finding the economic and political sweet spots that will increase the strength of our economy, decrease our reliance upon timber dollars, and match our progress in funding our jails with the advancement of an equally strong crime prevention plan. As the next East Lane County Commissioner, I will champion efforts that attract jobs that pay no less than 150% of the median wage. I will push for a reconfigured entity that will get the best parts of Lane Metro Partnership and Travel Lane County. I will uphold our interest in strong public safety in the rural as well as in the urban areas of East Lane County. My name is Jose Hortal, and I am running for East Lane County Commissioner. I am running because I believe that Lane County can and do better. We can and we must. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you all very much for your opening comments. We just heard from the four candidates for East Lane County Commissioner. We heard from the incumbent, Faye Stewart, and challengers Joanne Ernst, Jose Hortal, and Kevin Matthews. The Lane County Commission positions are full-time, salaried, and nonpartisan with four-year terms. In contrast, city councilors in Eugene earn a part-time salary, Springfield city councilors are not currently paid, and state representatives earn a part-time wage of about $22,000 per year. The current salary package for East Lane County Commissioner is $85,475. Please note, candidates, that as we move into the questions, you will be limited to one-minute answers. Again, please pay attention to the timekeeper. Yellow card means you have 10 seconds. Red card means finish your sentence, then stop. I'll start with Kevin Matthews. And would you please name your top five contributors to your campaign?
The top five contributors. My outstanding top contributor is my father, Dr. Herb Matthews. Dad is a 88-year-old World War II veteran. He was on a minesweeper in the Pacific. And he has been generous enough to contribute funds to my campaign that are savings brought into the family by my grandfather, who emigrated from a small village in Russia early in the last century, worked as a union member on an hourly basis his entire life, lived really frugally, and put away some money, which we're now spending to try to talk with the people of Lane County. More than 80% of my contributors overall have contributed $100 or less compared to the incumbent, whom something like 80% of his contributors have contributed $1,000 or more.
Jose Artal, who are your top five contributors?
Thank you for the question. As opposed to both Mr. Stewart and Mr. Matthews, we made a strategic decision fairly early on to accept $0 from lobbyists, be they right or left. So, insofar as our contributors are concerned, Lourdes Sanchez, Helmut Plant, Phil Martinez, Anselmo Villanueva, and yours truly. Because quite candidly, this is not about money. This is about doing the people's business. Not the people's, not the 1%, not the 99%. This is about doing 100% of the people's business. And only through a constituent-driven campaign can this be accomplished.
Thank you. Joanne Ernst, top five contributors.
I'm very honored to state that we've run a great grassroots campaign. We have well over 100 contributors who have given us grassroots contributions all the way from $5 from Skeeter Duke all the way up to $250 from Lindsay Pierce. And we've really come to really respect that people have dug deep in these hard economic times to help us, some not only donating once, but sometimes donating twice. We know Carrie Thompson, the Helios Network, is supporting us, and we're very honored by that also. Because, as Mr. Artal just mentioned, this is about the constituents in East Lane County. Those small donors just keep, me going every day and realize that it's not about me. It's about the people out in East Lane County.
Commissioner Stewart, your top five contributors, please.
Thank you. I don't have them exactly top five, but I received contributions from the Community Action Network, from the Wildish Company, from Murphy Plywood Company, and Cottage Grove Realtor Association in Roseboro, not to mention several hundred other contributors. Most of my contributors have been supporters throughout my 10-year effort in multiple campaigns. My list has not changed. I pursue the same folks that have supported me in the past.
Thank you. I'd like to next start with Joanne Ernst. What is your top priority for Lane County in the next 4 years if you are the successful candidate?
I think my top priority, and there could be a number of them, but bringing living wage jobs to East Lane County. We need to attract businesses here. We need to ensure that the companies and the small businesses that we have here are continued to be supported. But we have a lot of the things in place that should be bringing businesses and companies here, and we should be well on our way to recovering from these hard economic times. But why aren't we? And, you know, we have enterprise zones and we have tax incentives and things like that. And I believe it's one reason is because they're not being used properly. Another reason is because we've got a funny thing in there about that a lot of the businesses are up to Lane County Commissioner discretion. And I think that's one thing we need to change to make businesses understand that they, when they come here, they will be supported and not at the discretion of the commissioners.
Thank you. Jose Ortal, your top priority if you're successful in this campaign.
Thank you for the extraordinary question. Let me frame the question, if I might. And quite candidly, an important race such as this would require more than one top priority. So insofar as I'm concerned, I have authored three policy briefs. And the point being, of course, that rather than running the county as if it were a mom-and-pop store, we ought to really be talking about policy. The three policy briefs may be viewed at my webpage, joseortal.com. Specifically, if I gain the trust and concurrence of the citizens of the East Lane County Commons, I will, one, implement or try to implement or foster a stewardship logging approach to timber. Point two, as was recently talked about in the Register Guard, I will work closely with both Lane Metro Partnership as well as Travel Lane County to do a reconfigured entity. Last, I am also interested in a labor policy that allows current county staff to fully do the duties that they're entitled to do.
Thank you. Faye Stewart, what would be your top priority if you're successfully reelected?
Thank you. My top priority hasn't changed. It's serving the citizens. They're number one. Whether it's finding a solution for 104 users, finding out that their water supply is going to be shut off and how they're going to meet their needs in the future, or whether it's working hand-in-hand with the city of Oak Ridge when they were facing very difficult fiscal challenges. In that effort, also priority is economy and trying to do the best that we can to make wise investments in our communities that help create job opportunities and investments that go on the tax rolls that the citizens, we can use those tax dollars to pay for services. Also, continuing to improve our public safety system, taking the next step, putting together a long-range plan to make small increment improvements on our public safety system so that we can start responding to all the needs of the citizens. And finally, also work to protect our transportation system. We have one of the best road systems in Lane County. We need to keep it that way.
Kevin Matthews, top priority.
This is an area where there's really a sharp contrast between myself and the incumbent. I'm focused on building rural prosperity in our local neighborhoods and rural communities, working together from the ground up. You've heard some talk about bringing in outside companies. We have a history of giving tax exemptions that we can ill afford to large outside corporations and getting few, if any, jobs for that. Prosperity is something deeper. We need to think about the big picture in Lane County and work from the ground up with local small businesses to build up all the elements of a balanced rural economy, including a timber sector that evolves to the point where it's a good neighbor to the rest of the economy and we can all be proud of it, specialty agriculture, adventure tourism, medical services, public safety, education supported with affordable broadband internet throughout our communities.
Thank you. And now we would like to bring in a question from an audience member, member of the community who is with us today.
This is Eric Richardson from the Eugene Springfield NAACP. What is your opinion on the Arizona-like discrimination initiative petition 52 being floated at the state level? It would allow for religious exemption to Oregon's discrimination laws.
Jose Ortal will go first.
Thank you for the question, Eric. I think that the issue in Arizona is problematic on various levels. Level one, and perhaps most importantly, it is really important to recognize that these narratives are about exclusion. And in fact, if something like that were to raise its ugly head initially at the state level in Salem, but as with all these matters, they do trickle down to the local level, irrespective of who's sitting in that chair, irrespective of who's sitting in the other four chairs, they ought to have the moral courage to challenge such initiatives. So specifically, although county commissioners have very little to say insofar as what may happen at the state level, there is something to be said for the power of the bully pulpit. And quite candidly, insofar as the bully pulpit is concerned, vision without the ability or the courage to execute begs the question. So if I'm sitting in that chair, I will call the question and see what may result as an answer. Thank you.
Joanne Ernst.
That's a great question. And again, these type of laws are exclusion laws. I mean, here in Lane County, you know, we have a wonderful place to live. And we see this type of, law and groups and people come forward every once in a while to try and pass these laws for exclusion of certain groups of people. And it's just something that we need to continually make sure that we're on alert about and that we're constantly pushing back against. I mean, we have a couple instances here going on in the state of Oregon right now with Marriage United and some of the driver's license laws around undocumented workers. I mean, we've got situations where people have driven here for many years and worked and contributed to our community and paid taxes, and now all of a sudden they cannot get a driver's license and go to work. So as a commissioner, I would continue to make sure that I was on alert of these type of things and work to make a good community for everyone that lived here.
Commissioner Faye Stewart.
Thank you. I'm not very familiar with this law and or this proposal, and as most of these, the devil's in the details, so I would appreciate more time to review it. But my motto or my stance has always been that discrimination is not tolerated. I also desire that we treat everyone equally and make sure that folks are treated equally and respected and cared for. When the Board of Commissioners is asked for state comments in regards to laws, we have a legislative committee that two of the commissioners sit on. They review the committee's or the proposed laws, take a stance or recommend taking a stance to the Board of Commissioners on how that might impact our county government and our citizens. And generally, that's the process. So work hard to understand exactly what the law is trying to achieve and then try to make the best recommendation for the county in its entirety.
Kevin Matthews.
I wouldn't say the devil is in the details on a discriminatory law. I would say the devil's in the concept. The basic idea of these laws is wrong, and it takes us in the wrong direction. We need to be working together at a grassroots level. We face challenges of globalization, climate change, poor health care, difficulty funding public service, public safety, law enforcement, and education, rising inequality in wealth and income across our country at such a level that if the trends continue, it will start to threaten our ability to have a fair and reasonable democracy in the United States. The last thing that we need is perpetuating discrimination against minority groups. In fact, we need to call people to their best nature, understanding that our diversity is our strength.
Thank you. After the 2010 census, the Lane County Board of Commissioners redistricted the county. Many feel this was done poorly. What are the flaws and benefits of that redistricting? We'll start with Kevin Matthews.
Well, let's talk about this from the perspective of East Lane County. When the conservative commissioner majority voted to spend tens of thousands of dollars of county money on an unnecessary redistricting, they took what had classically been a kind of a pure rural district in East Lane County and added the Churchill neighborhood of West Eugene into that district. Now, I think all the residents of East Lane County are terrific, and it is what it is. That's the district we're running for. I don't appreciate the conservative majority playing politics with district boundaries, confusing people about what district they're in. But once commissioner is elected, we represent the entire people of the county. And so I'm thrilled to be working with this group of citizens.
Jose Ortal.
Thank you for the important question. I would posit that what happened in 2010, 2011, is not redistricting. It's called gerrymandering. And so insofar as that is concerned, I would also like to invite our audience's attention to the fact that federal law, as well as state law, requires that after every census, there must be redistricting. So the notion that this was an unnecessary redistricting is false and inaccurate. So insofar as the actual redistricting is concerned, it was done for no other reason than to make East Lane County much more habitable for a Republican to win. Conversely, what also happened, of course, is that it got very, very progressive folks to challenge that notion of a lack of inclusion, for lack of a better term. Lastly, insofar as the redistricting is concerned, Mr. Stewart was asked by the Cottage Grove Chamber of Commerce to vote against that, and he refused. He went against his own constituents in his own town.
Joanne Ernst.
One thing we need to remember also about this redistricting is the commissioners, the conservative commissioners, went and bought a new type of software that was used in other areas to redistrict to put the advantage for Republicans in some of these districted areas. And as taxpayers, we paid for that new software, even though the Lane Council of Government software had been perfectly fine for many, many years for the Lane for the Board of Commissioners. So what did it do? It did change East Lane County. It redistricted a small urban area of the Churchill neighborhood into East Lane. And as it was mentioned earlier, Cottage Grove's Chamber of Commerce even came and asked the incumbent, Faye Stewart, not to do that, and he did. So what's the advantage to that? I believe the advantage is that we can leverage the values of the people that live in Churchill to help some of these smaller communities out in East Lane County and make them much more prosperous.
Commissioner Stewart.
Thank you very much. First of all, every 10 years, you have the opportunity to look at the districts and to see if they need to be redistricted. It's based solely on the folks that are involved at the process. The Secretary of State gives clear guidance as to what that process would look like and what there is to be achieved. At first blush, there was a few areas where population was a little bit different in areas that you try to achieve the five districts to have the same population level. And it was within tolerances. The Board of Commissioners could have chose not to do anything. But at the time, our charter states that the Springfield commissioner was to represent the Springfield citizens. And the East Lane County District represented nearly 7,000 constituents in the Springfield city limits that should have been represented by the Springfield commissioner. When you head down making those adjustments, there was a committee involved. The administrator was the one that purchased the software. And I'd like to give more, but impossible. Sorry.
Thank you all very much. This is KLCC. We'll be right back with the second half of the East Lane County Commission Candidates Forum. This is KLCC News. I'm Tripp Summer. You're listening to the East Lane County Commission Candidates Forum. This next question was submitted by Jonathan Siegel regarding Parvin Butte. I'll start with Commissioner Faye Stewart. How would you have handled the controversy over Parvin Butte differently? 1 minute for the answer.
Differently. I'm not too sure exactly how I would handle it differently. We started with community meeting to try to get an understanding of what the owner was trying to propose to do. They just completed a logging effort, and there was rumors that they were going to proceed with perfecting a rock quarry there that had already been there in existence for in excess of 50 years. Probably the biggest thing would have been at that community meeting, I had one individual stand up and give a presentation, and in the closing comments essentially said over that person's dead body will ever be a rock pit. That set the tone for the entire process, which could have been a process that was open, that could have involved public neighbors working with the owner to see what was going to take place and try to minimize impacts, that turned into a legal battle, which ended up in the results that Luba decided that was the decision of the pit.
Now to Joanne Ernst, how would you have handled the Parvin Butte controversy?
As county commissioner, I definitely would have taken a greater interest in the local residents that live near there and sat down and mitigated the problems between the business and the local residents. It's still not finished at Parvin Butte. There needs to be a lot of mitigation that still needs to go on there to make the area more livable for the residents. I just attended a public forum for the sand and gravel operations in Saginaw that many of the local residents down there are facing the same problems that are going on at Parvin Butte with trucks coming down the road, loud noises, operating at all hours of the night. I think commissioners need to work with these local residents to make changes at the state level about these destructive grandfathered-in asphalt and gravel mining industries. And I believe it would be appropriate to even use some county funds to assist Lane County residents in this venture. We know that in Saginaw they had a sand and gravel business there that the community loved, and so it can be done.
Jose Artal.
Thank you for the important question. Firstly, let's talk about the necessity. If we're going to be about having a county that is importantly interested in the rule of law, by all means, we should respect private property rights. That said, ostensibly, what happened in Parvin Butte is that because of a stale-dated set of rules and regs that went back to 1985, apparently nothing could be done. What I read in media accounts, of course, talked about how moving forward, the incumbent would take a leadership role in terms of making sure that that code is up to date. As we sit here today, that has not happened. So what would I have done differently? I would have listened to the citizens of the Parvin Butte area insofar as the following issues are concerned. First, make sure that there's a traffic control program in place. Two, a program to remediate dust. And importantly, make sure that these trucks aren't going downhill at 70 miles an hour and could possibly kill somebody. It's an accident waiting to happen.
Kevin Matthews.
Joanne, it was nice to see you at the Saginaw gravel pit hearing. Too bad you didn't choose to testify. I've been working with the Saginaw area residents for months now, and it was really great to see them stepping up with some of their arguments. Faye, for me, what sets the tone on Parvin Butte, at my farm on the Middle Fork outside of Dexter, is my horses getting startled 5 miles away every time blasts go off as Parvin Butte is gradually leveled. Not only have the commissioners not done anything to tighten up nearly zero regulation on gravel mining in Lane County, but they have taken concerted active steps to further deregulate gravel mining in Lane County. What would I have done about it? I would run for county commissioner to represent the citizens and tighten up gravel regulations so that good gravel pits supplying a product we need can operate smoothly and bad operators are shut down.
Thank you. Reporting by the media, including KLCC, has focused on homeless people in Eugene. How can Lane County offer services and assistance to rural homeless people? Joanne Ernst.
Thank you. It's a very important question. And so far, the Lane County has stayed out of this and kind of put the whole problem onto the city of Eugene. I don't agree with all the methods that the city of Eugene have been using, but they have made some progress. What we really need to look at is the different types of homelessness and why people get there. We do have a group that seems to want to live at that level, and they need to be dealt with in a much different way than a lot of these homeless people that are facing this horrible situation because they've lost jobs. sickness, other things like that. The Board of Commissioners needs to work very closely with nonprofit groups, with churches, and provide means that these people can take to access social services, find jobs, find housing, and be able to better their lives.
Faye Stewart.
Thank you. The Lane County Board of Commissioners is very active in actually working with the homeless folks in our communities. Right now, our Human Services Commission is our lead organization that does that, and they allocate several million dollars in our different communities to nonprofits and service organizations that provide services, whether it's through St. Vincent de Paul, through Goodwill Industries, through Women's Space, through a myriad of different avenues. What can we be doing more? Well, at the present time, we're putting together a homeless and poverty commission that will be solely focused on that mission. How can we reduce it? It's really about connecting people to the services that we have. Take, for instance, myself. I was blessed to be able to be introduced to a homeless person, a homeless vet in Cottage Grove, and was able to actually take the time with this individual to connect him to our veteran services and get services so that he can provide it for himself.
Thank you. Kevin Matthews.
I think the saddest thing about the homeless situation in Lane County is that it's become an incredibly polarized issue. People have really extreme views about it, and it seems like that makes it really tough to move forward. But what I've found, whether I'm talking with Republicans or Democrats, I'm talking in rich neighborhoods or with country wage earners, I've found that just about every citizen of Lane County truly believes in helping people who are truly needy. And so we have common ground to really roll up our sleeves and figure out how to deal with the homeless issue, figure out how to provide the services that have been cut and cut and cut by fiscal austerity pushed onto our government over the years. We, again, should appeal to our best nature and help people who really need it.
Jose Ortal.
Thank you very much. The truest measure of any community is how that community treats the down and out rather than the 1%. Secondly, the research shows that between 80 and 90% of Lane County's current homeless population are natives to Lane County. Insofar as what to do about this, outgoing Chair Lichen, during the State of the County address, talked about a new era of partnering. The same comments have been made by Mayor Kitty Piercy. Insofar as what to do, there are, of course, emblematic best practices. So, for example, Salt Lake City currently has an extraordinary program that has substantially eliminated homelessness for vets. Mayor Piercy has been working with the City of Salt Lake City. Indeed, Salt Lake City and the City of Phoenix have programs that, if narrowly tailored to meet Lane County needs, should be strongly considered.
Thank you so much. And now we have a question from a community member who is in our audience today.
Good afternoon, and thank you for coming today, candidates. My name is Steve Paulson. I'm the mayor of Lowell. And my question for you is, how have you or will you work to make public safety a priority for the county?
Commissioner Stewart, you're up first.
Thank you. Public safety has been really my focus. I've served in the 10 years on the Public Safety Coordinating Council. I have spearheaded forming a task force of all the elected mayors in the county, pulling them together to try to find, first of all, educate them on our public safety system and how we can work together. Public safety has always been my focus and continues to be that. We need to find a way to respond to our rural residents. I'd like to see us work towards achieving a more robust resident deputy program where our deputies are forming relationships with our citizens and on a first-name basis to be able to effectively serve them and to continue to build on the success of our jail measure and find additional ways to bring more resources back to the county to improve public safety.
Joanne Ernst.
I think we all know we need to have a much stronger public safety funding source. You know, the job creators in our community need to feel safe transporting and using and storing equipment here and know that when their burglar goes off, a burglar alarm goes off, that it will need a police response instead of a lot of paperwork. When the, you know, the bottom line is we need to provide more money to public safety, but we need to do it with a zero-based budgeting approach and a performance auditor for all county departments, not just public safety. You know, I haven't heard a single current or former county employee I've met at the door who thinks that there's no fat to trim from Lane County's budget that could otherwise be spent on arresting the criminals that are out there. We need to remove the burden of those with mental and substance abuse problems from the system before they become behavioral symptoms and require prosecution. We just need to improve our whole system overall and take the burden off the jail beds.
Thank you. Jose Ortal.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Mayor. We have made great progress in funding our public safety services, but again, we can, as Lane County, do better. The time has come to match the progress made in funding our jails with similar progress in crime prevention and control. Improving outreach to the outlying rural areas should be a high priority for the commissioners. As your commissioner, I will embrace Tom Turner's plan for neighborhood watch programs and reach out to join forces with local law enforcement agencies in the name of increasing rural patrols, building secure online neighborhood reporting networks, and moving towards the eventual establishment of satellite sheriff's offices in outlying rural areas. The time has come to fully serve the entirety of the East Lane County Commons, not only with economic development concerns, but also with public safety. The time has come.
Kevin Matthews.
Rural law enforcement is a real concern of mine. Living in an unincorporated part of the county, out near Dexter, as I mentioned, you know, I know that residents like my family and I can face an hour or more response time. I went on a ride-along with Sergeant Wilkerson of the Sheriff's Office a few weeks ago to see firsthand what it was like, and it was a relatively slow day, so we only covered 250 miles of Lane County landscape during one swing shift. At the root of the problem is a lack of transparency in county government so that citizens really don't understand all the sources of funding that Lane County has and where Lane County's money goes to. One of the first things I want to do on the board is open up the Lane County's nearly $500 million budget so that citizens can understand that. We can take control of the county's priorities and funding, and we can find the money we need for good, safe rural law enforcement.
Lane and other counties in the state of Oregon have been learning to live without federal timber dollars. What is the best way to manage and still generate revenue from the ONC timberlands? Jose Ortal.
Thank you for the extraordinary question. I have actually authored a policy brief on that, although it does not talk about the ONC lands. It does talk about stewardship logging, a stewardship logging approach to timber. That piece, importantly, also talks about sufficient yet not exorbitant incentives for owners of private timberlands to also be able to take part in carbon tax bundling and reduction. Importantly, I would invite the listener's attention to the letter to the editor that was penned today by Pam Driscoll. Important letter, and in that letter, at the very end of the letter, Ms. Driscoll talks about why aren't the current county commissioners talking about and pursuing carbon tax credit and carbon tax bundling. If elected by the citizens of East Lane County, I will push for a carbon tax credit bundling program to reduce Lane County's carbon footprint.
Commissioner Faye Stewart.
Thank you. Well, currently, under the federal law, there's the ONC Act passed in 1937. It calls for the federal government to, specifically the BLM, to manage those lands sustainably for timber harvest, and the proceeds of the timber harvest is to be shared with the counties at a 50% basis. Lane County used to receive upwards of $15 million a year from our receipts from that. Today, our last payment from Secure Little Schools was 4.7, and if we were to go back to the shared receipts, we would be more like $1 million. I'm a firm believer that, first of all, that's a resource to the county, and I'd like to see the federal government uphold their obligation under the law. If they don't care for that law anymore, then our Congress needs to change it. I believe that those lands can be managed. I came from a timber family and worked specifically out in the woods. They can be managed to protect the environment and reduce the potential that they're going to burn up in the future.
Thank you. Kevin Matthews.
Behind this question is the basic proposition of whether increased logging is the answer to either county payments or the economic woes of rural Lane County. You know, between 2009 and 2012 in Lane County, total board feet of harvest went up 75%. Wood products employment in Lane County went down 14%. The fact is that because of mechanization in the woods, automation in the mills, and large amounts of raw log exports, the connection between jobs and the local economy in timber has fundamentally changed. We need county commissioners who are dealing with the modern economy, not the economy of the 1980s. The simple piece that we need to do to bring in more money from BLM timber sales, rather than just cut more wood and sell it dirt cheap to big mills, we need to actually reform the BLM timber sale process so the public gets good value.
Thank you. Joanne Ernst.
We all know the days of big timber harvest is gone. We've known about it for a number of years, and our current Board of Commissioners has not done really anything to fill that void. A healthy forest industry is still possible on a smaller scale. We continue to face the threat of fire on our public lands that are overgrown. But I believe even if Wyden's plan passes, we still will have lawsuits and stagnation. We must use the newest scientific studies to develop forest practices that can bridge the gap between environmentalists and the timber industry. I believe smaller clear cuts with 50% thinning in conjunction with smaller mills and local use of wood will keep the money in our own communities. The county owns some timberland. Why not set up a model forest harvest education program like we did this at eWeb when they put together the Randy Bergring Farm. They teach good stewardship farming and riparian zone practices on rivers. We could show how to do this on our timberlands.
Thank you very much. This question was submitted by Penny Jennings. Tell us your thoughts on the use of Buford Park Emerald Meadows at Mount Pisgah for concerts and other events. And we'll start with the incumbent, Faye Stewart.
Thank you. Well, this is certainly the topic that we've been discussing, and we'll have a further discussion next Tuesday. My thoughts is that the early 80s, the county adopted a master plan for the park, which directed it to be used for really a natural experiences. And right now we have essentially a conflict. I don't believe hosting large events with thousands of people are enhancing the natural experience that folks are experiencing. I worked really hard to see that the Wildish property that was acquired by the Nature Conservancy, 1,200 acres, to be reclaimed and hopefully brought into public ownership and use for the citizens in a natural experience can take place. And I'm hoping that we have a robust plan that will give us new guidance as to how Mount Pisgah should be managed.
Joanne Ernst.
Again, this is a great question. It doesn't seem like these outdoor venues are appropriate for our outdoor parks. It it causes a lot of disruption in the neighborhood. And if we look back at what this whole area around the Mount Pisgah was created for, it just doesn't seem like a good fit. We do, you know, we can look to other places for where these venues can happen, and we know that we have other places. We have that, the wonderful Lane County, our Lane County, having a brain freeze here right now. But we've got our wonderful center downtown where we have a lot of events. You know, we bring conferences there, and we have a lot of local events. And that's the type of area we need to bring these venues to that aren't as disruptive to people and were created for those type of venues.
Jose Ortal.
Important question. The short answer is, what does the deed of trust say? Follow what the deed of trust says. The deed of trust has explicit reservations as to what can and can be done on that land. Insofar as what the incumbent has done, when the issue first came up, as reported in the media, Mr. Stewart said, quote, I trust that what we're being told by the vendors at the venue will happen. Not so much. It didn't happen. Insofar as the much more complex nature of the question, I think what you're going to find is that the residents that live in the Mount Pisgah area are extraordinarily divided over the issue. It is a divisive issue. It is a divisive issue because, in my estimation, it was raised and caused and abetted by what I have described as governance lethargy, a commissioner that is missing in action, does not listen to constituents, and only listens to the interests of the 1%. This must stop.
Kevin Matthews.
The larger situation here is that we have a conservative majority on the board, 4 Republican commissioners out of 5 representing a Democratic Lane County, where there's a prevailing ideology with those conservative commissioners voting almost identical on almost every issue, a tendency to try to privatize our public resources and turn them over to moneyed interests, whether it's Buford Park on the one hand or the ONC lands on the other hand. I think that, you know, it's an absolute no-brainer that it's a responsibility of the county commissioners to protect our parks, yet they have approved park master plans that call for repeated clear-cut logging and even called for logging of Blue Mountain Park. So somewhere between supporting fairy worlds and not supporting something crazy like Kaleidoscope, however fun it may be for some people, we need to respect the park and the surrounding residents.
You're listening to the East Lane County Commission Candidates Forum on KLCC. Among our guests today, current Commissioner Faye Stewart has been endorsed by the Register Guard and Eugene Chamber of Commerce. Jose Ortal endorsed by Commissioner Pete Sorensen. Kevin Matthews endorsed by Eugene Weekly, Eugene Mayor Kitty Piercy, and Sierra Club. All 3 challengers, including Joanne Ernst, have been endorsed by the Democratic Party. Just wanted to check with Joanne if there was one other endorsement you wanted to share with our listeners today.
I'm proud to say that I've also been endorsed by Carpenters Union. I mean, these are the people that, you know, do the hard work in our community and help our communities to thrive support a lot of our young families that are here.
Thank you. You're listening to the East Lane County Candidates Forum on KLCC. I'm Tripp Summer. For the final section of the program, each candidate will have 1 minute to present their closing remarks. We'll go in reverse order from the start of the program. Closing remarks first from Jose Ortal.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for all the participants in this process that we call democracy. This election is not about the past. This election is not about the present. Indeed, as many of us understand, this election is about 7 generations out. It is about the future. So if we as citizens of East Lane County are well served by the current lack of representation by a charter member of the 912 Cottage Grove Project, there's an app for that, and that's not me. Secondly, if the citizens of the East Lane County Commons will be well served by a single issue candidate that is admittedly not well received in many parts of Lane County. There is an app for that, and that is not me. On the other hand, if the citizens of the East Lane County Commons are interested in having a person that will represent the interests, not of the 1%, not of the 99%, but the 100% of the citizens of East Lane County, I would posit that I should be that candidate, and I am seeking the citizens' vote towards that end.
Thank you. Next up, Kevin Matthews.
Thank you. I've worked with the community on improving our sand and gravel regulations. I've worked with the commissioners on trying to help Lane County take its first baby step toward responsible climate planning, which was blocked by Mr. Stewart. I've served with Mr. Stewart on the Bureau of Land Management Resource Advisory Committee. And in that context, he blocked a committee proposal to pursue a collaborative conversation on our forest futures. So I turned around and worked with a public interest forester and another commissioner to host conversations on the forest over a period of 3 years. I'm working for responsible forest practices, protecting our clean water, and building prosperity in our rural communities, working together from the ground upward. It will be my honor to work for you as East Lane County Commissioner. Thank you so much.
Joanne Ernst.
So the choice is clear. You can vote for Faye Stewart and get another 4 years like the last, a commissioner putting friends and big business first. This hasn't improved Lane County's economy. We have a vibrant working community with mutually beneficial solutions if we simply ask citizens and businesses what the county can do for them. Or you can vote for Kevin Matthews, who sued to stop water from going to Vinita, calling it illegal urban sprawl. Is this a person that would help all the rural communities of East Lane if he's already sued once to stop delivery of vital services to a small town? I'm a mother, a community member, a taxpayer, a homeowner. I've lived in the county and small cities most of my life. I've owned a small farm where I grew 10,000 pounds of tomatoes, where my children grew up and learned core values. I see my grandson every day, and he's a reminder that my decisions must consider our next generations. I won't try and reinvent the wheel, but I'll ensure that the county works for the people and not the other way around.
Thank you. And finally, the incumbent, East Lane County Commissioner Faye Stewart.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen today and participate. It's been an honor to serve as a county commissioner. As I've said multiple times, there is nothing more gratifying than helping people. It's not about improving a resume or making a list of all the great accomplishments. If I would have done that, we could be here for hours listening to the things I've done to help citizens. And it's a wonderful thing today's technology is that you can, if you have access to the computer, you can find that a majority of the comments made by individuals today were not completely accurate, and it's unfortunate. But I would be honored to continue. I would continue to place your needs and concerns number one. And most of all, I want to continue to work hard to improve our community so that our next generations have the opportunities that we've had to the best of our ability and the opportunity to stay here with their families and raise future generations.
That concludes our broadcast of the East Lane County Commission Candidates Forum on KLCC. Thanks to the candidates, Faye Stewart, Joanne Ernst, Kevin Matthews, Jose Ortal. Ballots are due no later than 8 p.m. on May 20th. This forum and KLCC's other campaign reporting is available on our website, klcc.org. Thanks to producer Tiffany Eckert, engineers Chris Heck, Michael Canning, Don Hine, timekeeper Jess Burns. I'm Tripp Summer. This is KLCC.